So, you know, I've been trying to figure out, our whole group trying to figure out what the current algorithm is for management of non-small cell, very biomarker-driven, and how, particularly how TPS is fitting in. And you mentioned something that we saw and we have been seeing, which is, what do you need to rule out to start initial therapy? And your list was EGFR, ALK, ROS1, and BRAF. And I would say my list, based on what I'm hearing from investigators, would include MET exon 14, although I know there's not an FDA indication. But do you consider, maybe you can just comment a little bit about exon 14 and whether you can, what kind of what I'm starting to get the feeling for is there are like four or five of these alterations that a lot of investigators will treat first line with targeted therapy, so you really need to know it up front. And then there's others, it seems maybe HER2 and RET, that maybe aren't that critical to get up front. Is that kind of globally? And where does MET exon 14 fit in?
It's interesting how we kind of see, I almost see it as people who are at bat, people who are on deck. And NCCN has a nice page that looks at the, I think they call it the emerging targets, which I think is very useful. Useful for thinking about it, also useful for insurance authorization, to be honest. I show them that page, and at least in my California practice, I always get approval for those targeted agents, even though they're off-label. I admit, I think that it's hard to say when something should get promoted to first line. BRAF, as soon as it got the FDA label, I kind of made that a first line choice. I had done one or two off label before that and got it approved. Again, the MET exon 14 data are fantastic for crizotinib. I think my concern is a kind of insurance approvability. I know I can get in the second line. And I think across all these targetable mutations, I think we've always seen that chemo followed by the targeted agent or vice versa generally has the same overall survival. So I think it's reasonable to wait for the second line and not kind of spend the time with an appeal and a peer-to-peer to get the approval to say, I'm going to get it second line. And oh, by the way, if I get a year out of chemo, maybe it bubbles up to FDA approval or there's a trial of an even better MET inhibitor that's purposefully designed. So that's kind of how I think about it. But I agree with you that the four on top, EGFR, ALK, ROS1, BRAF, I do want that MET, RET, HER2, and the others, but I'm willing to let that be my second tier that I get as I've started chemo. If I can make one other interjection, this comes up a lot in second opinion practice, and also just because of the timing of the results. PD-L1 is IHC, so it comes back quickly, often before even the targeted mutations come back, and certainly before NGS comes back. So what I've noticed, and I certainly heard colleagues mention, maybe your panel has noticed, it seems that especially ALK patients often have a high TPS. It's really interesting. And of course, when that comes back first, I think everyone rejoices. They want to get started on pembrolizumab. But if you have this phenotype of a non-smoker, young patient, you haven't gotten EGFR and ALK back, it's not the patient who, so to speak, ought to have a high TPS, you know, the smoker, the inflamed tumor. And I think the results have been pretty consistent that ALK and EGFR underperform in the second line other patients on PD-1 inhibitors, even TPS for TPS level. And in the first line trials, of course, EGFR and ALK were excluded. So I think it's really important, as excited as we are to get that PD-L1 result back and to get started on treatment, if I'm looking at a patient in front of me that I have a high pretest probability of EGFR or ALK or ROS1, I wait for that mutation result because I think that for some mechanistic reason that none of us truly understand, that high PD-L1 happens and it doesn't really reflect or predict for a better PD-1 inhibitor response.
And again, I've heard that consistently, and you know, this reluctance or delay in using checkpoint inhibitors in patients with driver mutations. And again, it kind of seems like the cancers that tend to be treated up front are the ones that people are pulling back from the most. So EGFR, ALK, et cetera, and i.e. that when they do progress on targeted therapy, I'm hearing a lot of investigators saying, even if they have a high TPS, like, as you say, for some reason, sometimes these ALK patients have it. We're not giving a checkpoint inhibitor with chemo at the beginning, maybe later, but not that early. Is that the way you're doing it?
Exactly. Exactly. Because again, as we talked about, let's say an ALK patient has high PD-L1. First of all, we've got great agents. We'll talk about alectinib and some of the great data coming there. Chemo is going to serve them well too. We talk about pemetrexed maintenance. I have great options in my pocket. And as exciting and sexy as immunotherapy is, my expectation of response rate and duration of benefit is shorter for these patients. So I'd rather give them these better agents up front. But it's interesting in this milieu where patients are hearing about immunotherapy on the TV, that that's what they reach for, even though I can say, actually, I've got this drug in my pocket that I think will work better, longer, more safely, right up front.